Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Let's Guide podcast, the ultimate podcast for Google local guides. AI, artificial intelligence, is definitely one of the most used buzzwords in recent years. And Google is definitely a major contributor in that field. But when it comes to using Google Maps and being a local guide, some of the things we see pop up or get proposed by the algorithms don't seem to be very intelligent at all. In this episode, we will cover some specific examples of what I would like to call artificial unintelligence and suggest some possible fixes. Let's hope it can help the Google team deliver an even better user experience. But before we dig into that, of course, I have my habitual disclaimer that I'm not an official representative of Google or the local guides team. I'm just a local guide myself. The things I tell in this episode are therefore just my personal interpretation. This episode is recorded at the end of February 2022 and is therefore explaining the situation as it is today. Should you be listening at a later date, things might obviously have changed.
Let's get started!
With regard to today's topic, there are three different areas where I can clearly see room for improvement. First, there are the things which Google proposes to us, mainly via notifications popping up or suggestions inside the Maps app. Then you have missed improvement opportunities for things which are already on Maps. And the third one are the interactions between the Google team and the local guides. So first up, the stuff we get proposed by Google. Probably you have also already had the experience that when you have just made an edit to a point of interest, a place on Maps, you will be proposed to write a review of that place, which makes sense, of course. If you made an edit, there's a realistic chance that you have been at that place. But what I have experienced a couple of times already is that this happened after I have marked a place as permanently closed. So made an edit to say the place is closed and it's permanently closed. That, of course, does not make sense to propose to propose me to write a review. And the same is, of course, true for questions about the places that I just marked as closed. I could, of course, grab some easy points by answering no to the questions if they sell bottled water there or if they accept credit cards. But really, it would be better to simply not get those nonsensical questions at that point in time. Don't you agree? So my suggested possible fix here is to check the status before suggesting to write a review. If the edit a local guide made was marked as permanently closed, do not use that place to suggest a review or follow-up questions. Another domain where I have seen suggestions for edits that make no sense are requests to add opening hours for types of places where opening hours are simply not relevant, like, for example, statues or package lockers, which are typically put there to make sure you're not dependent on any kind of opening hours. They should be accessible at all times. Or another good example is emergency call boxes. To my knowledge, emergencies tend to happen at all times of the day, all days of the week. So no real need for opening hours there. What I would suggest here is simply to exclude certain categories of places from getting suggestions to edit the opening hours. Let's then move on to pictures and the automated suggestion to add those to Maps, a highly debated topic as it has been the cause of tons of pics landing on Maps that should not have been added, as they are not abiding the guidelines provided by Google themselves for adding pictures to Maps. Those are also the pictures that other local guides afterwards have to report as inappropriate. Some high-profile places, like famous buildings or tourist attractions, can easily have hundreds of those inappropriate pictures added to them, and reporting them is very elaborate and a tiresome process, as you can only report them as inappropriate one by one. There's unfortunately no option to mark multiple pictures and then bulk report them, so to speak. This has been suggested in the idea exchange on Connect, the official forum for local guides, localguidesconnect.com. It's been suggested there a couple of times, but unfortunately, so far, it has not been realized. I'm pretty sure you have all seen those kinds of pictures uploaded to maps already yourselves. Very blurry ones, low-quality images, selfies, group pictures, or in general, images that would rather belong in a personal or shared photo album, but definitely not on Google Maps. And although there will for sure be some local guides who do this just to collect some points in their attempt to reach the next local guide level by adding an extra high amount of pictures to Google Maps, I do think that in a lot of cases this is done by people who are simply unaware of the fact that they are violating the guidelines, but rather that they are acting upon a suggestion made by the Maps app to upload a picture to Maps. You get those pop-ups on your phone. Upload this picture to Maps. As I said in the episode intro, Google is a major player in the field of artificial intelligence, so it should be possible for them to run some AI-based picture analysis that reveals that it makes no sense to suggest those types of pictures as upload to Google Maps. After all, they themselves have defined some clear guidelines as to which types of pictures that should not be added to maps, to places on maps. There's a very clear post on that written by the Google team on Connect, Local Guides Connect. I'll make sure to link to that in the show notes. The suggested possible fix here is then, of course, use artificial intelligence to cross-check pictures against the guidelines before suggesting to upload them to a place on maps. The next unintelligent behavior is linked specifically to the activities we do as local guide. The algorithm suggesting reviews is simply not taking into account local guides' activities, if you ask me. This is something I face a lot when I have been making a lot of edits as part of the Local Guides Clean the Map project. In case you're not familiar with that, I'll link in the show notes to the main post on Connect on the topic, or you could just go back and listen to episode 19 of the Let's Guide podcast. That's also on Local Guides Clean the Map. In that context, I sometimes visit the website of a place to check, for example, the exact writing of the name they use there. And then 2 days later, when opening the Maps app, there is a suggestion to review that place with the indication, "You visited their website 2 days ago." Yes, indeed I did, but not as a customer. So how could I write a genuine review based on my personal experience with that business? Or should I post something like, "Their website looks nice, but unfortunately it's not fully responsive, and I really don't like that shade of blue on the contact page"? I don't think so. So please, Google team, use some AI that will recognize the activity of local guides as a pattern to determine if I was visiting the website as a customer or as a local guide. I'm using your Maps app, your browser, on a phone with your operating system. So please just connect the dots instead of throwing meaningless reviews suggestions at me. Another connect-the-dots case, for that matter, are traffic jams. Most likely you've already had this kind of suggestion yourself too. When you were in a traffic jam, standing still for a couple of minutes, you will very likely receive, a bit later, a suggestion to review the business that happened to be close to the place where your car was standing, even if it was on a highway, not in a city center. Come on, I have my location history on an Android device, and the Maps app shows that there is a traffic jam at that time on that exact stretch of road, and still the suggestion to review the place pops up. Surely there must be a way to avoid that. And while at it, please also stop suggesting business owners, who are local guides too, that they should review their own business. It's against the conduct guidelines provided by Google themselves, and obviously also unethical for a business owner to review her or his own business. But still, the suggestions for reviewing the place keep coming up. Okay, those were my points on the suggestions we get, but there's also a lot of content on Maps that's already there, that has been added in the past, often on purpose, and does not belong there. And that's my second domain where I see room for improvement by a proper use of artificial intelligence. Those things which do not belong there are not detected by the AI, and therefore they're also not automatically removed. So let's look into that. Obviously, I'm referring primarily here to spam listings. Some are quite easy to spot, if you ask me, if of course you know what to look for. And I've described some very nice examples of that in another post on Connect that relates once again to the Local Guides Clean the Map program. I'll link to the post in the show notes. And it's a story about fake locksmith locations, which, by the way, you find in a lot of countries. So if I can quite easily find them, why can't Google? My suggestion here, use AI with some kind of pattern detection to find those listings and then just remove them, as we local guides then often do one by one through making edits. Also, keyword stuffing is not detected. For marketing purposes, businesses often add all kinds of things to the place name. For example, a pizzeria could add the best pizzas in town after the name, or a clothing store something like 50% discount this week. The guidelines for how business names should appear on Maps are quite clear. It's supposed to be the name as it is shown on the storefront, and nothing else or nothing more. If you know that linguistics is quite an important domain within artificial intelligence, it should be possible to make some kind of AI-based linguistic analysis of place names that will detect quite a few of those keyword stuffing cases. And if you can detect them, then of course you can also automatically remove them. That would be quite helpful, if you ask me. Another violation of the naming guidelines is that names should not be written in all caps, so the entire name spelled out in capital letters, with the exception, of course, of acronyms such as DHL. But still, loads of those place names in all caps get accepted as places on Maps. Now, I'm not a professional developer myself, but I do know that something as easy as a simple regex expression might come in very handy here to detect those places written in all caps, and perhaps also to use it as a rule that might show an error message when you try to submit such a place name to prevent them from landing on the map. One more thing that should be quite easy to detect, if you ask me, but is not detected at the moment, has to do with the websites mentioned on places. According to the guidelines, aggregate websites, so things like Yellow Pages or websites specializing in listing opening hours or telephone numbers for businesses, those are not allowed. But still, they're all over the place in points of interest on Maps. Suggestion here, quite easy, create a list with such aggregate sites and then do a search for the domain names of the websites listed on the places on Maps. By the way, there's also incorrect data related to addresses, not places, that remains undetected. An example I came across myself was a street where house number 13 and 17 were correctly positioned, but 15, the house number 15, was not. That was positioned 50 meters away and on the wrong side of the road. Okay, the positioning of house numbers is perhaps not always the most logical thing. For example, when new buildings get added in a part of a street years after all the rest. So perhaps those kinds of possible errors should not be automatically adapted, but at least some method could be developed to find such anomalies, which could then be used to create a list that can be checked by human operators. And that then brings me to the third area where I think things could be handled slightly better, and those are the notifications local guides receive from the Google team. Fortunately, I would say I only have two items here. The first one is the selection of pictures or edits that are included in the local guide's success mails. Those are the emails you sometimes receive as local guide to inform you that an edit you made or a picture you added has helped X amount of Maps users. Those emails are highly appreciated, they're very nice, but my personal experience here is that the selection of what is in those emails seems to be pretty random. For example, I have received a few mails already to inform me that a highly successful edit was for a Carrefour market, which already has received 3 million views or has helped Maps users 3 million times. But in reality, the only thing I did there was, for consistency reasons, make the capital M in market from Carrefour market to a small M, which, because that's the way it's written on most of the Carrefour markets, and that's the way it's written on the storefront. But is it really meaningful? Is this helping 3 million people? I doubt it. Another example would be for a picture. There was a success mail showing that this picture I added a couple of days before had already received 36 views. But when I went back and looked at the other pictures from that same day, there was another one that had received 400 views already in the same amount of time. So if you want to incentivize and motivate people, then this of course is best done with meaningful examples, not randomly chosen ones. So what I suggest here is to use some extra analysis to select the most appropriate ones, not just any example to include in those emails. The second notification related issue is from Connect, Local Guides Connect, the official forum. About a year ago, they introduced the possibility to get notification emails every time a specific word or phrase is used on Connect. If you're not familiar with that and would like to know how exactly that works, I'll link in the show notes a post on Connect, of course, from Google moderator Angie explaining all about this. Well, really, it's a really nice feature and it works just fine, except for one small detail which could probably be fixed by an automated process. The search match on Connect also sends you an email when you yourself are the author of the post that contains the search term. And that's a bit of overkill, of course. If I mention LGCTM, the abbreviation for Local Guides Clean the Map, a search term I have entered in my Connect profile, so if I use that in a post or a reply myself, I really don't need an additional email to alert me that this term has just been used on Connect. The suggestion I would make here is, well, just simply within that notifications process, check who is the author, and if the author of the post is the same local guide that has that rule on, do not send the notification email. Having heard all those examples, dear listener, can you perhaps think of other ones? If so, please do let me know. I'll have the methods to contact me at the end of the show, or you can just leave a message on the podcast website, letsguidepodcast.com.
It's time for some news.
Yes, indeed. Also this time we have a couple of news items to report on. Let's have a quick look. The first one actually fits in very nicely with today's topic, as the Google Maps team or the Google team have uncovered the lid a little bit on the way that they prevent reviews that should not get published on Maps, to prevent that those should be published. There was an interesting post on the Keyword, the official Google blog, on this very topic. The post also has a video, a link to a video in it, which is very nice to watch and explains it quite clearly, if you ask me. It's a really interesting read or view, as they also review some very nice techniques, no doubt with an important AI component in them. So techniques to discover, for example, that a place on Maps has seen what they call uncharacteristic activity, such as an abundance of reviews over a short period of time. Good to know. Definitely check out that post or video. The next news item is something I noticed inside the Maps app on my phone. For a while now, your Maps profile shows nice icons for the types of businesses you review or certain words you mention in your reviews. For example, bakery, then it shows a small bread picture, DIY, a coffee will show a coffee cup, stuff like this. But since a short while, I have also seen that there are icons in between those product-related or business-related icons that are icons for places, so the cities and villages where the businesses are located that you review. I would say go check it out on your own profile. And today's last newsworthy fact is something that really made me happy. A while ago, I reported on Connect about a very bad Dutch translation for one of the newly added categories on Maps. The category was car wrapping, and they made a word-by-word translation in Dutch which made no sense. In that post, where I complained about this, one of the Google moderators responded that they would pass it on to the appropriate team. And lo and behold, after a month or two, I all of a sudden noticed that the Dutch translation had been fixed. Woohoo! That's the way we like it, of course. You can read the full story on this in on Connect, of course. I'll link to it in the show notes. So it's always good to know that the team does listen to the feedback we send. So by all means, do keep sending feedback. And sometimes also take action if they think it is justified. But before closing off this episode, there's one more thing I want to cover, which is a question from a local guide from Germany. She's called Stephanie. And she asked, can local guides manage a business listing? She was asking this because she noticed that an animal park nearby her place was not claimed on Maps. And from her interactions with the business owner, it's basically a one-man operation, it was clear that he did not have the time or the ambition to maintain a Google Business profile, formerly known as Google My Business. So she wanted to know if she, as local guide, could claim the business and manage that listing. And the answer is most certainly yes. If the business owner agrees to this, you as local guide can definitely do that. It's then basically the same thing you would be doing as a lot of marketing agencies do for their customers. If you want to find out more about that, listen to episode number 29 about marketing agencies. And that then brings us to the end of yet another episode. Do get in touch if you have any questions, like Stephanie had, comments or remarks. Just send an email to letsguidepodcast@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter as Local Guides Guru, or of course on Local Guides Connect, where I'm a moderator under my real name, Jan van Haver. All the show notes I have referred to can be found on the website of the podcast, which is simply letsguidepodcast.com. Bye-bye for now, and hope to find you in the audience the next time.
Game over.